Well, again, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. As I just mentioned before the prayer, I was going to have Jerry just to share some of what's happening in Houston. I think it would be a great encouragement to everybody on the call. Jerry?
Yes, thank you. Well, appreciate the opportunity to collaborate with all of you, and some of you we've been involved with for a number of times, Dave Imboden. Of course, we were together in Toronto in October for the North America Regional International Orality Network Conference. We did a Orality and City Reaching breakout session there. But what we're doing here, we're looking at creating a city expression of the Linking Global Voices, and some of you probably have been on that website, linkingglobalvoices.com. Eldon Porter with Missio Nexus has done a great job of identifying networks and coalitions and associations, and has identified more than 600 networks. So this is a network of networks. So we're looking at a city effort, so we're calling it Linking Houston Voices, and I believe there's a website already, but it's nothing on it yet. It's linkinghoustonvoices.net. But we're collaborating with Great Commission Coalition, Loving Houston, Union Baptist Association, Global Alliance for Church Multiplication, so there's city representation from all those. City teams, a good number of others, Houston Diaspora Coalition. So we're continuing the Movement Day people, and of course Mission America, now the Table Coalition, some of the people involved with that journey for a number of years, Love 2020, some of the things that Dave is involved with. And so in the early days we had something called Discover Your City, which came out of Houston, Mission Houston 2000. In the early days, 2000 was dropped, but it was basically the AD 2000 and beyond movement. So from the early 90s, going back to connect with the people that were involved with thinking about these things for the past 25 or 30 years. But then the newer leaders, the visionary leaders, the emerging leaders. So we're trying to connect people to give a better understanding of the resources, the harvest field, the harvest force, and then looking at who's doing what in the city. So there are a number of organizations and churches reaching refugees, human trafficking, the immigrant population. Who's doing something to reach the Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, and Sikhs in the city? So really trying to pull together, have a central database and a website for people to know what God's doing in the city. Not everybody is interested in having that visibility, and we want to respect that, but for those who are willing to be a part of that, it's just a continuing journey to identify all that's happening, connecting those networks, so to have a more comprehensive network of networks of the body of Christ in the Houston area. So a well-connected movement around the kingdom.
Thank you so much, Jerry. I appreciate that. And I was particularly thinking of you, Chad, in Milwaukee, how we've sought to help identify some of the networks and bring awareness and build relationship. And this might be a tool that we might be able to use. I know we have the Poverty Symposium coming up through the National Christian Foundation in Milwaukee, which is a wonderful event to help just bring people together and hear city-reaching stories and celebrate the good work that Christ is doing in Milwaukee. Chad, do you have any thoughts about this?
All right, just unmuted. Sorry, guys. Well, Jerry, a pleasure to meet you over the line, and I just really am encouraged to hear anytime the collaboration, connection, and networking with networks. That's really the heartbeat of the relationships we're seeing in Milwaukee right now. Just seeing worship and prayer networks really being intentional about collaborating together. So I really think as to just understand, you know, the day-to-day execution of what's happening there in Houston, what's been done, and any resources that are available. I'm taking notes here, filling up the page, and would love to just hear more, Jerry, as well. Our focus at Worship City and our team has been really focusing on diversity and unity through worship. And so really, anytime there's opportunities for impact and service in cities where right there alongside the prayer, the worship networks, and then in the marketplace, really making sure we're engaging with entrepreneurs and business leaders that are seeking really kingdom impact in the communities that they've been anchored in.
Awesome. Thanks, Chad. Appreciate that. I think I noticed someone else joined the call that didn't get a chance to check in yet. Am I missing anybody?
It's Brent Taylor. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Brent is with Chad. Are you in Milwaukee today, Brent?
I am in sunny Florida.
Awesome.
In a t-shirt and shorts. Suffering for Jesus at this moment.
Oh.
So.
Do you have any comments to add to what Chad was saying?
Yeah. Again, hello, everybody. I think stuff in Milwaukee, we're between Milwaukee and a bunch of other cities. But what can you re-ask your question? I wanted to kind of...
Well, it was kind of in response to what Jerry was sharing happening in Houston, how they have this linking global voices, that now they have linking Houston voices to identify the networks within the community, to build awareness, to build relationship, and just as a resource to help other Christian organizations and churches know what's going on in their city and who's doing what.
Okay, yeah, and then you asked Chad about... I just missed the last other question.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking about how the work that you guys are doing with around worship and how that relates to linking the networks.
Well, yeah, for us, I think there's voices, and the voices of attachment come through worship nights. Like we had, I think it was like 25 pastors of different ethnic values and coming together, and it was through the music thing. The one thing that is collective is worship. And we talked to some of the pastors, and I was like, there's an amazing part where you get to preach by yourself, and you're on stage alone, and you're doing that. But in the collective of worship, it's a collective of people. And so with Worship City, we're teaming up, and we found that one of the biggest things is sports. The other is music, and the other is an accident on the side of the road. Everybody stops to watch. It's just kind of that crazy moment. And so... we have found that when we do gatherings and we connect, it's not a threatening. It's just a voice. We all sing music. We all sing to the Lord. We all worship together. And there's a common ground there. Mm-hmm. And so in those nights of worship, what we do, we meet like months in advance, have conversations. What are the areas that you feel that we need to impact your city? And the other is marketplace ministry. It's really brought pastors and people together because they're brilliant. They're running companies. They're doing great things. And so in that, it's a level playing ground. The mm-hmm. worship is just, hey, we want to come together and have resource and love and life and acceptance and all these other things. But being the voices in Houston, it is us lifting that voice up together and saying, hey, how do we connect with you? And so it's a phone call. It's the dinners. We kind of shied away from the business dinners, but more so the gatherings. We found number two... one of the big things is the pastors or the leaders or the business guys wanted to have something to do, not just sit in a meeting, but, hey, what are we doing? Because a lot of the guys are men, so they wanted to do something and have deliverables. And so in those deliverables was worship, and those deliverables was being able to also talk and articulate what your ministry was doing, and then hear the other men around you go, oh, I'm not doing that alone. How do we partner? And the partnership thing became amazing at a night of a round table, putting your sword at the table and going, hey, this is we're here to impact this city. And so Worship City is Worship Citizens. And so we kind of have found that in Detroit. We found it in Chicago. We found it in Milwaukee. We're finding it in Detroit, Orlando, and just watching God move through, and not just worship, but music and ministry, and then that catalyst of what are we doing? How are we doing this? We saw our people come together. No one was threatened. Awesome. This is amazing. Black, white, Hispanic, Mennonite, Pentecostal, whatever it is, the common ground for us was singing and getting in God's presence. And then we catalyzed from there.
Beautiful.
So that's been something that we found great success in and kind of going down that road as well.
Awesome. Brent, thank you so much. That's really encouraging. When I sent out the invite, Neil Cox in Indianapolis was asking the question, what's the status of Love 2020 initiative at this point and throughout the year? And Kathy, I was hoping she'd be on the call today. I know she's busy, but Dave, maybe you could speak to this a little bit, kind of the status of Love 2020 and its relationship with Go 2020 and how we're continuing to move forward through this year. Dave, do you have some thoughts?
Which Dave?
Well, I think, well, Dave and Bolivia. Sorry, Dave.
Yeah, we'll be looking at the Orlando meeting coming up on the, what is it, the 21st, 22nd of this month, where there'll be, I think, more opportunity to have a lot more dialogue with Go 2020 USA. And that's kind of the critical step right now, I believe, is that is where we're putting our attention. So in a way, Love 2020 has taken a significant back seat to Go 2020, because Go 2020 really has become, I call it a rebranding of Love 2020. Now, it doesn't take over because it's limited in its time span. It's looking to mainly get people on board with May of this year to have a whole month of really ramping up and engaging in evangelism through prayer, care, share mobilization. So there's a lot of work to do. Well, certainly no more after the Orlando meeting. Just Kathy's all over the map, but she says wherever she goes, there's prayer, care, share happening. And she's engaging tons of people around the country in all kinds of meetings, and with her work with National Day of Prayer. So I'm continuing to work on the Love 2020 site. I'm finally getting stuff together to really put Go 2020 on the map, on the Love 2020 site, on the front page, to really be directing people there. I want to keep populating the different spheres of activity, ministry on Love 2020, as well as the cities. And Neil, you see me popping up on your site, cityreaching.org, with the different pages that you had set up years ago for the different cities. And, you know, I've just been all over the map trying to take care of too many things. Local stuff here going on in Los Angeles with Saturate, doing a third wave to reach this city of 20-plus million people. And so,
it's beautiful. Thank you, Dave. And thank you for all that work. We will pray that God gives you the time and grace to continue, because I think that communication piece is very important, so we can be aware of what's happening and just share the glory of God, what he's doing around the country. Neil,
amen.
So good to have you on the call. Neil, could you just kind of weigh in what's happening in Indy and what you're seeing happening in your sphere of influence?
Sure. And I do want to, again, congratulate Dave for helping so much with the cityreaching.org wiki, which anybody can come in and edit information about their city. So I would encourage everybody to do that. But it's special when Dave takes responsibility for a lot of different cities, everything he knows, and so forth. Yeah, Indianapolis. And sorry, I'm going to be really redundant here. Those of you that know the rant, it's called geography, geography, geography. Location, location, location. Businesses know that is the best strategy. And likewise, how are we going to reach our cities if not geographically dimensioned? And I'm just saying this follows emergency management protocols. You know, if some big disaster hits Houston, for instance, you know that the leaders, the emergency managers, immediately put up a map and started sectoring things off according to, and try to find out the situation report from each one of those geographies. So Indianapolis is no different in that respect. Our planners got together for a luncheon last November, and to set the operational plan for 2020, and determined that they wanted to travel under a slogan, I guess, of a sort, called Be the Church, and for the every. So we've got 770,000 homes. How are we possibly going to get to them but by deliberately trying to find out who's in what geographies and working collaboratively to reach our city? That said, you know, CEN, Christian Emergency Network nationally, and our local metro chapters called Ready Indy, we only think in terms of geography. So typically zip code by zip code, we have 110 zip codes here. Our goal for this year is to find Christian collaborations in 55 of our 110. So, you know, by the end of the year, we hope to have identified 50% of our zip codes that have a visible collaborative effort that might be described as being the church for the every. That said, I'll just give you a little snippet into a zip code that the church I worship at is in. And as a result of collaboration there, we've been able to go into a very diverse refugee-slash-immigrant apartment complex and other low-income, I should say. But we've been able to go in there and help folks individually and corporately as their landlord was at least had some historical pattern of, I would say, abusing them, knowing that refugees who have just escaped their government are not likely to be complainers here in this United States. And similarly, if you're undocumented immigrants, you're not going to be ones to complain either. So landlords know that, and you got to look out. They can take advantage of that. We've come alongside our residents and come alongside those landlords. And now suddenly, as a result of doing that throughout 2019, the landlords that saw us as the opposition and threatened us with trespassing now invite us onto the property to help them put into place some charitable activities for their 500 residents. So to say it's a good report. It's nice to see progress. And of course, if you are measuring, for instance, zip code by zip code, you can see measurable, observable progress. If you don't do something that's tangible like that, really all you've got are a collection of stories that you can tell, but no idea really are we reaching the every in our city. So that's my report, John.
Neil, thank you so much. You give us so much to think about. And I just want to add on to what you were saying, and then I'll open it up again for more conversation around this topic. But you said location, location, location. And I agree. I think that we need to look at this kind of territorially and put the map up. And blesseveryhome.com does that for us. And I don't want this to be a commercial. I'm just saying this is what's happening. And so I was on the phone. We have a weekly prayer call. I'm sorry, bi-monthly prayer call here for the state of Wisconsin, and we've got a city reacher down in Madison. He and his wife are just intercessors and servants, and they just serve pastors, they serve the church, they serve their community. Well, I told them about Bless Every Home, and well, they feel led to just really adopt their neighborhood and begin to pray and to prayer walk and to just look for those opportunities to care and share with their neighbors. And so they're the type of servants that normally would just kind of come in and serve the big movement, and now they feel to do this at a grassroots level, bottom up. Let's begin to pray for our neighbors. Let's begin to love on our neighbors and care for them, and let's share with them. And they've already got stories. They've only been doing this for about a month, and they've already got stories of how the Lord is opening up doors for them to share the gospel with their neighbors. And when you talk about looking at your city or your neighborhood, what I love about Bless Every Home is when you sign up and you adopt your, you know, five blocks or three blocks or however big an area you feel led to pray for, it comes up and you get to actually track who you're praying for, who you've had an opportunity to care for, who you're actually sharing Christ with, and who's you're actually discipling. And the beauty of this is if churches adopt their neighborhoods and the people within their churches adopt, you start to get a map of who is being covered and who's being prayed for and cared for and shared with. So I just want to put that resource out there again and say, here's another real life story. I was encouraged. When I opened up the map and I looked at what was happening collaboratively, I know I'm not the only lighthouse in the Fox River Valley here where I live. There's other lighthouses who have adopted neighborhoods, and we're not anywhere near 50% yet. But like Neil said, there's a goal. They want to get half of those zip codes. Well, what if we all set that out and said, okay, we're going to take responsibility for our geography, and I'm going to start with my neighborhood or the neighborhood around my church or the neighborhood around my ministry, and we're going to begin to pray, and let's see if we can just cover the map until every man, woman, and child is prayed for and cared for and shared with. So I just offer that out as kind of another practical way for us to measure what God is doing. And again, it's for me, I've been praying for my neighbors for about 12 years when we moved into this cul-de-sac, and it was rough at the beginning, but the Lord has answered prayers and opened doors and opportunities for me to help my neighbors. And we had a big snowstorm the other day, and my neighbor came out. He's 90 years old, and it's been a rough relationship through the past 12 years, but he actually asked me for help. He had had shoulder surgery, and he couldn't get out and shovel, and I was more than happy. He wanted to pay me. I said, no way. I said, this is what neighbors do for each other. And so I already see a softening happening now and opportunities to just care and share. So this really works as we begin to pray for our neighbors. And again, just want to open this up. If anybody has something similar to share, going off of what Neil had shared, what I'm sharing about Bless Every Home, I'd love to hear from you, Dave Godori.
Well, I was just going to chime in and say amen to that plug about Bless Every Home. I use that tool every day, and I agree that it's incredibly distills it right down to the basic issues. You're praying for them, you're loving them, have you talked to them, and try to promote that whenever I have opportunity to do that. So I feel like I'm on the other end of the spectrum when I think about what you guys talk about in Houston and L.A., and here we are up here in this frozen, chosen mission field where we're more like the Milwaukee situation, realizing the critically important step for getting people to work together is just to be together and begin to understand that they're part of something larger, and, of course, it's his body. So though we do outreaches and encourage that kind of thing from time to time, our major focus is still just trying to build the networks with pastors, get them to come together to pray together, figure out how to deal with this terrible independent mindset that exists here in New England and in our state in particular. So it's a big challenge, but we're working with these various networks and trying to grow them. I've been recently really challenged and wanting to look more deeply into the model of what's happening down in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't know how many of you guys are aware of this, but what Brother Kelly and the Four Charlotte people are doing in terms of breaking it down into smaller units, missional networks, I think that's the kind of thing that has to happen in our area. Even though Rhode Island is small, we're already smaller than Houston to begin with, but we've got 39 cities and towns, and they all tend to think of themselves as units unto themselves and disconnected from one another. So those are some of the things that we're doing. We've got our kickoff the year pastor's prayer breakfast coming up next week, so working on promoting that and beating the drum and encourage pastors to come together.
Oh, Dave, thanks so much for that. I just went to 4charlotte.org from what you just said there, and obviously they're putting right front and center the art of neighboring. And if you haven't already looked at this resource, I think it's something that you're going to want to embrace and share with your city reaching partners because it's a wonderful tool, you know, breaking it down. And it looks like they have a report for State of the City there in Charlotte. We need to get someone from that community on this call to share some of what they're doing. Could you do that for us, Dave?
Well, I'm not in direct contact with them, but I can surely reach out. I've been thinking about reaching out to them to say, hey, how can you guys help us up here in New England? But I'd be willing to do that if nobody else is better trained to do it.
No, please. We'd love to have you and us.
And I'll give Fort Tucson. The number four, Tucson, is another good model that I don't know if they're connected yet or not, but Mark Harris leads that effort, and it's multiple organizations and networks, and they're doing the Movement Day activities as well.
I'm familiar with them, and they're like way down the road ahead of us in terms of the sophistication of the cooperative caring and sharing efforts that they've done. The thing that struck me about the Four Charlotte deal was the breaking it down into smaller groups of networks and having leaders who are kind of championing their specific geographical network, because, you know, Charlotte's a big city and people have all these different areas. And similar things in Tucson, although not quite so much. So anyway, that's also a good lead.
Great. So, Dave, you're going to bring the Charlotte people in. Jerry, would you contact the Tucson folks and see if they'd join us next month?
Sure. The other thing I'm thinking, because Dave M. Bowden is a pretty well-connected guy, and there's several other, if we were to pool our connections and look at best practices or most fruitful practices in terms of cities, I think there's something that everyone can learn from the other movement. So that's the idea with this linking Houston Voices, which is not just going to be exclusively Houston, because we're connected with other cities. So part of our network would include Global Gates and a number of others of focusing on gateway cities. But the process of time, we've realized that it is about units. It's about smaller segments. So I think some of the Houston Profile Project identified 47 different entities within the city, but the idea is to cross-pollinate and make people aware of. So there's Pastors Prayer Summits taking place and various other things, because businesses, mission, kingdom entrepreneurs, and then reaching government officials, the diplomatic community, the consulate personnel, medical community. So there's different layers, but most of them aren't crossing over. So that's the idea, is creating a global awareness, but based on a focus on the city.
I love what you're saying, Jerry. I think we really can learn from one another, and that's really the purpose of this call, is that we can share those best practices and look for opportunities that might help advance and accelerate the movement in our community. So any other thoughts as we're talking along here?
John?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Good. Yeah, just chiming in, and as we had mentioned earlier, the ability to go to cityreaching.org, which is a wiki, and you could, for instance, click on Charlotte to give you a bit of a head start as to, you know, things that may have been identified already that are going on there, might give you some good ideas of people to contact. For instance, as I'm looking at it right now, I'm remembering that our brother Claude Alexander, Bishop Claude Alexander, is very involved there. And, of course, last I knew, he was on the board of the Table Coalition. Because he's so involved, that means he's also very busy. But perhaps he could name a liaison to be on this call monthly. You know, that's one of the emergency management protocols that I think would be really helpful to all city reachers, is to think in terms of, hey, the leader himself or herself does not have to do every single thing. They really need to have a buddy, or in this case a liaison, that could be on the call, represent for them, and carry information back to that particular city.
Absolutely, Neil. I would love if you could reach out to Claude. I prayed with that man. I love his spirit. I love his heart. We could all benefit from him or like you said, a deputy coming on and sharing with us. And I do see that happening. I know that, you know, Dave and I kind of sometimes do that for Kathy. I try to do that for Dina when she can't be with us on the call, to just share what's happening with the Table Coalition. You know, we're all representatives of the kingdom, and it's, you know, these little separate organizations aren't, it's not about our organization, it's about the kingdom. But if we can share that out, I think it's going to be helpful for the whole movement. So, please, Neil, reach out and see if they would be willing to join us for the call. We want this to be an open forum that is really going to be helpful for city reachers, and the more people we can engage with that, the more stories we can tell, the more practices we can share. And, Neil, I really particularly appreciate you bringing kind of that emergency management protocol to us, because I agree. I think it can really help city reachers to have that track to run on to really make progress within the movement.
Well, yeah, forgive me that I'm a broken record about those things, but, you know, I just envision the fire truck coming to my house, you know, is not at all disorganized. It's not, hey, what should we do, or let's form a committee or anything. These are always well-trained, well-thought-out folks, and they can work across different organizations like fire, police, you name it, including the church. Most emergency managers in the country want the church because, again, churches generally represent location, location, location. So they're always going to be there. They're always going to be people of goodwill. They're always going to try to help their neighbor as themselves. So we make the consummate partner for our emergency managers, and what they have is the process. They've got processes down for teamwork. And, man, I would love it if they would teach emergency management courses in our seminaries so that perhaps that would trickle down to our churches and city.
Yeah, you're so right. It's kind of all laid out there for us. And as I'm working more and more with emergency management here in Wisconsin, up in Green Bay, I'm recognizing that the fire department isn't just for fires. They're for just about any emergency. It could be a chemical spill. It could be flooding. It could be a tornado. You name it. They're the first responders. They're there. And they need and want the church to engage, especially after the initial, response. And this is an incredible opportunity we have to pray and to care and to share. And that the church would be prepared and equipped. And, again, these resources are already available. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. The trainings are in place. We just got to provide them for our churches and ministries. And we can be ready for what's coming, because we know it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Oh, and I think of the Good Samaritan. I like the kid and say the Good Samaritan was CERT trained. I mean, he obviously was prepared. He wasn't just willing. He was ready, willing, and able. So he was the one who had transportation with him. He was the one that knew how to bandage. He knew, he was the one that cared enough to stop. And had money on him and had a good credit score with the innkeeper, right? So, again, we just need to follow that model of the Good Samaritan. And our emergency managers in our counties are absolutely there, anxious to train us for free. You know, you just couldn't ask for a better foray into your community than getting involved in emergency management with volunteers. So.
Well, and like you said, willing to train, and not just that we would be ready to respond to, you know, crisis or disaster or emergency within our communities, large or small, but also sometimes those emergencies are happening within our houses of worship. And are we prepared and equipped and ready for that? And again, these trainings are available. They're standing ready to come in and train your church leaders and your ushers and your greeters what to look for and how to respond in an active shooter situation. And so this is the full gamut that I think God is wanting us to be prepared for on a very spiritual level, yes, in terms of prayer and the gospel and a resiliency of our abiding in Christ, but also a very practical expression of that, to be able to show love and care and concern and compassion in very real ways. And I think that's what opens the doors for us to share the gospel. Any other thoughts or ideas as we're talking here today?
Well, this is a chance to jump in and say I'm going to have to leave, but I keep you guys in prayer, and please pray for Rhode Island.
Definitely.
Amen.
Well, Dave, that's the prompt I needed. You know, you guys, you probably know me by now. I love to pray, because I need to. We need to. We're just, like, so desperate. So let's go into a time of prayer. And let's just share our hearts with the Father. And Dave, if you want to go ahead and start lead out, pray for your community, Rhode Island. We'll come alongside that and pray. And then if different ones want to lift up their community, their area, let's just spend some time in prayer together and seek the Father and his heart for our cities. Dave? I'm sorry if I wasn't clear. I was asking Dave Godori to begin us in prayer to pray for Rhode Island.
We may have already lost him.
I think he might have got off. Sorry about that. Dave, in Bowdoin, you want to pray for Rhode Island?
Sure. Sure. Amen. Father, thank you for Dave's work, his persistence in the face of just the scattered realities, the separateness, the individuality, Lord, of New England that he shared with us. We pray, O God, with him for the continued breakdown of that resistance, and some of it's just ignorance. They just need the vision to come alongside and bring them together to unite their hearts, Lord God. And Father, part of that is recognizing that there is a synergy that comes from churches working with other churches and banding together for whole communities. And so, Lord, we pray that you will bless Dave's work, that you will bless him with strength, with favor as he goes from church to church, that you will continue, Lord God, to exalt the vision that he is sharing about better together and about a united church, praying over their city, caring for their city, protecting their city, guarding their city, Lord God, and reaching their city with the gospel. And we pray, Lord, for awakening in New England, Father, where there's so much darkness and resistance to you, Lord. Father, may that be a place where revival breaks out, and you would just spread that, Father God, throughout every one of those states, every one of those counties, and every city throughout New England, we pray, would be blanketed with a prayer, care, share vision, lighthouse mentality, people praying for their neighbors and caring for their neighbors and sharing the good news with their neighbors. In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes, Lord, we agree. Father, I'd like to lift up Milwaukee and Madison, southeast Wisconsin. Lord, I pray that you just continue to pour out your spirit and unite the church and ministry there, Lord, to live out this mission of praying for and caring for and sharing with every man, woman, and child throughout greater Milwaukee area, throughout the Madison area. Lord, that represents the lion's share of the population in Wisconsin in those two urban areas. And I pray, Father, that there would be a revival in the church and a great awakening in the land. And your church would be mobilized to reach out and to love and to share. And so I pray for a great blessing on Chad and his work there in the greater Milwaukee area. And Lord, thank you for bringing Brent Taylor along to come and just lead worship and bring people into your presence, Father, and behold and taste and see how good you are. And so may you continue to be glorified, Father, and may your name be exalted over Milwaukee.
Lord, as we think about what you're doing globally and the lessons we can learn from the global South and the rapidly reproducing church planting, disciple-making movements there, some very basic things that would apply here, we pray that you would give insight and understanding and how we can learn from your people around the world and just see how you can bring that understanding here to make things simple, reproducible, biblical, and getting back to the basics of how the gospel spread throughout the whole populated world in the first century. So we just pray you'll renew us and give us insight and understanding to see past the cultural and the traditional barriers and get back to the essentials of the life and the teaching and the spirit of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, we pray for the many movements, so many things going on, Lord God. We've got Movement Day and Christ Together, City Gospel Movements. We've got City Advance. We've got Saturate. We've got America Praise. Loving our 40 Days of Hope, 40 Days of Love. Lord, so many different ministries. Go 2020, Love 2020, Table Coalition, Year of the Bible. Father, we pray that every city would become aware of how much is going on and how many resources and opportunities there are to bring their cities together and to find help. Lord, there's help everywhere. It's so available. And so we pray, Lord, just keep raising up advocates in every one of these cities to harness, Lord God, the vision and to see their churches and their campuses blanketed, Lord God, with a spirit of unity and cooperation. We pray, Lord, for pastors' prayer summits to be birthed in every city. Lord, how incredibly important it is for pastors to come together to pray and to seek your face without an agenda. So we pray a blessing on those movements. And we thank you, Lord God, that you hear us as we cry out for these things. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray that we fully understand what this gospel is that we say that we're taking to every city and every home, every person. Father, help us to not just naturally assume that it's the things that serve us well, but that, Father, you unbelievably so, paradoxically so, you self-sacrificed for us. It's unfathomable. But, Father, help us to realize that the good news is that of deference to our neighbor and not preference. And preference to the things that divide us and deference to the things that are more Christ-like in nature of reaching out to the other. So, Father, I know we live in a 6 o'clock news culture of me, and let's raise our borders high and let's do everything we can to our enemy and Father, we just pray for your sense of justice. May the church be well known for your sense of justice among the oppressed and those that are most vulnerable. And again, just not self-serving. Father, you know I live in suburbia too. So, Father, help each one of us to know how we can have inroads in to be with people who the world regards as poor, but you regard as rich in faith, and that we need to have what they've got, and not so much that they need to have what I've got. So, Lord, I just pray that. I pray for every city that there really be a visible justice component. Something that really does look like good news for the every. And Father, you know that's counterintuitive, and we the church don't have a long record of doing that, except in some very special cases. And we all recognize a hero when we see him, somebody that puts himself out, puts their life on the line for their neighbor. Whether it's firemen or police or whoever that is, or it can just be a neighbor operating on behalf of their neighbor, advocating for. And Father, we know we can't really love our neighbor if we don't recognize the systems that oppress them. And I'm thankful for Nehemiah. Thank you. I'm thankful for all the black and white words you gave us directly, you know, in Scripture that we can look at and study and like Nehemiah, who stopped the wall building for one thing, to call out injustice in the camp. So, Lord, help us to look around our own cities, our own churches, and see in what ways we are being unjust among each other, Father. And I think right off of what I've heard said, that churches tend to be 10 times more segregated than the neighborhood around it. So, Lord, thank you for the Bless Every Home tool that can help us really think on an every basis and reach out into all the diversity in our neighborhoods. And if we live in an all-color, one-color neighborhood, then, Lord, help us to figure out how to do that better and make it more diverse, much like the Revelation 21 view of the Bride of Christ coming down in its diversity with shining gemstones of every type woven together as a new city. So, Father, I just thank you for who you are. Teach us to better understand that and to try to live it out in our cities.
Mm. Yes, Father. Well, we couldn't be in more agreement. And thank you for leading us down this path and help us grow in what it means to be your sons and daughters and to represent your kingdom well and to see your kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy come to everyone in our neighborhoods and in our cities. For your glory, for your honor, we ask all of this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.